brethren.
If you will, let's turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And just as a reminder, the end of May, Brother Eric Lutter will be here with us. Michelle will be with him. And we'll have a cookout that day before he preaches on Sunday. He's going to stay with us, I think, through the end of next week. I told him I wouldn't make him preach Wednesday. You can't vacation if you got to preach. There's no such thing. John come back from Ashland. I went, how was your vacation? And he's, ha! Yeah. You travel and preach a bunch of places, but it's hard on you. But anyway, we'll have a cookout for him, and I'll make him visit long he ought to the day before on Saturday, May the 27th. So let Kimberly know if you're able to attend. We'll provide all the food and everything. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. I've listened to a lot of messages on this psalm over the years, and the titles, which don't mean nothing, ought to make it give you a hint what's in the message, but if I got a title and then went to go look for a message to match that title, we're all in trouble. Spiritual depression is one of them. My pastor preached, and troubled heart and panting and a lot of things. There's a reason a believer has a downcast spirit. There's a reason that children of God, those Israel, Jacob's, not called Jacob anymore, Israel, you shall be called Israel, you are called. There's a reason that those people, called Israel by God, who saved them, that they have depressed spirits, they have lowness. It's on purpose. Just like the Lord came to Jacob again 40 years later and said, your name's Jacob. That's a little cold. Get a little dark in there. There's some sadness. That's needed. But I've heard the psalm read so many times in a mostly negative light with the gospel in it, you know, as our relief. But I hope we see it with new eyes today. This is, throughout this psalm, it's the capital S spirit speaking to the lowercase S spirit in the recovery. But let's read this. Verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This psalm is such a positive psalm. I'm serious. I mean it. That's like I said, everybody show up chilly and everybody be mad because we ruined the cookout. Or you can have a chili cook-off and charge people to come to it, right? Attitude makes a whole lot of difference. The eyes were given to look at something. This psalm is so encouraging to me this week. And I pray the Lord will show us that. I pray it'll be an encouragement to you. David begins here. He says, just like a hart. That's a deer. A deer. Just like a deer panteth, it longs for. It needs after the water brook. That's just as a deer running from its predators, running from the hunter, its enemies. And it longs, it craves for the safety of the water brook. It craves for that refreshment of the waters. The rest that takes place next to that, those water brooks, isn't it? In like manner, just the same. Just as that deer, its whole being is desiring that stream, that water. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. That's what David's saying. That place, that water brook, that's a person. You get that? That's what it says, right? I'm just telling you what God says. That's what the scripture says. That rest that's in that water brook, that's a person. He's our rest. That refreshment, that healing that you're going to get from drinking that water brook, that's a person. He's a living water in him. That is who my soul longs for. And those things only come from being with you, Lord. I can have rest, I can have peace, I can have life, I can have refreshment, I can have healing. All those things only if I'm with you. You're it. I don't need a big bank account. I don't need my leg to quit hurting. I need him. And everything else will be fine. Who's he thirsting for? Verse 2. My soul thirsteth. Oh, we understand that, don't we? What masterful words. Did our Lord, did he give it? He said, let me tell you something about salvation. He said from a super lapsarian hyper-Calvinist point of view. No, he said, I'm the door. That's a door. You kids know what a door is? We know what a door is. Don't you? You ever been thirsty? That's the language our Lord uses. David says, my soul thirsteth, verse 2, for God, for the living God. We understand thirst. If you've ever been thirsty, I was in a desert one time. We went black on water. It means you run out of water. And then we saw a guy brushing his teeth, and he was washing his body armor with a bottle of water, and we tackled him. About beat him to death. It takes over your thoughts, your plans. Remember Jacob, the planner, the plan of salvation? If God makes you thirsty, you'll put them plans away, and there's an instinct that takes over. You have to have it. It consumes everything. Nothing but water will do. If you've ever been that thirsty, you want you a big old milkshake? I don't want a milkshake. I want water. How about some milk? Oh, you couldn't swallow it. What, lemon juice? What did they give our Lord when he said he thirsted? Gall and vinegar. I want water. I want water. And it's a person. I thirst for the living God. He did not say he thirsted for five-point Calvinism. Did he? He didn't thirst for the London Baptist confessionals. He said, my soul panteth and thirsts for the living God. Now people say, oh, it's all, I can't find him. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's good news. Natural man thirsts after natural things. To thirst after the true and living God. That's good news. You know why? He made you thirsty. Dead people ain't thirsty. If he makes life, you get thirsty. Right? You have a surgery, what do they want you to do? I want you to drink something. All right, you can drink stuff on your own and go to the bathroom. Good, now you can go home. Thirsty, there's life there. Dead folks don't get thirsty. There in Jeremiah 29, it says this. The Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I just think so highly of God. Well, it matters what he thinks of you. I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. You shall be called Israel, last hour, right? That's what's going to happen. You're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what predestination is. It's being made and conformed to a person. He said, I'm going to give you a hope, an expected end. Who's our hope? That's verse 2, isn't it? I'm going to give you an expected end. Then, he said, I'm going to do all this. I know I thought towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil. I'm going to give you an expected end. Then shall you call on me. Then you're going to get thirsty. And you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. What were we last hour? When we do our walk of faith, the Lord said, I'm going to abide in them, and I'm going to walk in them. But. Well, I don't, that's what he said. Don't get mad at me, he said it. He said, you'll pray, and I'll hearken unto you, and you shall seek me, and you're going to find me. When you shall search with me with all your heart, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. That's what's happening here. Searching with all our heart, H-E-A-R-T, not H-A-R-T, right? But like that deer, we must have him. We panteth, we thirsteth, and he's made everything we need. And we need him. Don't want him, we need him. The Lord does that in us. He makes us thirsty by giving us life. We are his workmanship. He did it. He makes life. Nobody can do that. We can take some mud and make something, and we can make a computer and do your math for you or something like that, make calculus. You can't make life. We're used. We're the means that life's made, but you can't do it. He can. We're his workmanship. We didn't know that before. And then he teaches us. Teaches us thirst. All men and women have, everybody, A-double-L, all of mankind, everybody born of Adam, has this need of water. But they don't all have the thirst. God ain't gave it to them. They don't need it. You put a water fountain out of a cemetery out there. You think anybody's going to drink out of it? They're dead. They don't need it. You put a water fountain out in the desert and there's live people there, they're going to drink out of the water fountain. They don't have this thirst. And if we have it, if you have that thirst, Lord, my soul thirsteth after you. Thank him for it. That's good. He gave it. You'll seek him, you'll find him. What are we to do if we're thirsty? Our Lord stood up in that great day of the feast. I mean, in front of everybody. All them highfalutin religious folks with their $10 words. And he said, if any man thirst, he cried. He cried. Yelled out loud. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He didn't say, come, I'll give you some water. He said, you come to me. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The people say, Lord, let us come. They said, kill him. That's natural man, isn't it? There's some thirsty there. He spoke to him. What did he say? Well, that's New Testament stuff. Here's the dispensations of our Lord. In Isaiah 55 says, ho, listen, pay attention. Hey, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. Come on. Lord, my soul thirsts after you. Come on. Come to him. Come to him. This is beautiful. I was reading this week too. The Lord spoke to John in Revelation 21. He said, it is done. If we get a hold of that, you'd know something. He made that a complete sentence. Simple. It's done. It's done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Well, you got to do something. You ain't got to do nothing. If you're that thirsty, you can't walk. If you're that thirsty, you can't even cry out water. If we're panting, we're truly on the verge of death, isn't it? And it's life and death. He said, I'll give them water freely. And you know what he did to John? You know what he showed John? The same thing he shows every one of his children. It said, and he showed me a pure river of living water, crystal, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That water's coming out of the Lamb. That's a person. That's him, isn't it? Our text says in Psalm 42, verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. We don't have a prophet buried over Mecca. We don't have a tomb with the bones of Buddha in it. We don't have a statue or a big hunk of cold stone you got to go rub your hands on and bow to. No. And we don't have a lifeless, stoic God that's cold and unmoving and unbending. We have a desire to know and be with and consume the living God. What's the living God do? He rules. Well, people got a problem with that. He reigns. He does whatsoever he wants to do. In heaven, in the armies of earth, and under the earth, seas, and everywhere else. God did it. He's the first cause of everything. If he didn't do it, he ain't God. I don't think that way. It don't matter what you think. He is. He's the I am. He rules, he reigns, he loves, he corrects, he provides for, he conquers, he defends, he wounds, he heals, he makes alive. I tell you something else, boys. If you're thirsty and you panteth, he hears. He speaks. Isn't that something? My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, Lord, I'm thirsty for you. When can I be with you? We count the days down. I was away from Kirma for a year. And we'd have 28 days and a wake up. Can't say 29 days because that last day, that's an inclusive day. You do calendar mathematics. That's an inclusive day. So we say 29 days in a wake up. Oh, when can it get here? When can it get here? You love somebody, you want to be with them. When will this race be over? I want to be presented faultless. I want to be presented in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy because he kept me from falling. That's what Jude said. Unto him that's able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior. When can I be with you? That's what I want. When will that happen? Like last hour, we looked at Hebrews 11. We look for a city that's not built with hands, whose builder and maker is God. That's where I want to be there with him. We look for that coming of our chief shepherd when he shall appear. I'm weary. I'm thirsty. I'm tired. I'm looking for him, for the living God, and everything else in me desires to be with him. This world's old. Jacob, you ain't going to be called Jacob no more. Yeah, you're right, Lord. I don't want nothing to do with it. It's dead to me. I'm dead to it. They don't like me. And it's dead to me. I don't want it. All this panting, this rapid breathing, this longing, this desire, I would have passed out unless. You know what? Look back a couple of Psalms. There's Psalm 27. Been a couple of months. Look at Psalm 27, verse 13. If I didn't have an expected end that Lord had for me, I couldn't go on. If I didn't have his word of what he said his thoughts towards me were, my thoughts towards him, they feelings come, feelings go. Feelings are deceiving, ain't they? I'm just so weak and unable and thirsty and panting. But his thoughts towards us, he gives us expectation. Look here at Psalm 23. Like that deer, it'll passed out. Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted. I'd have just fell over and died. I'd have fainted. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, if I didn't have that expected in, I couldn't go on. And the Spirit speaks to David. Here's the instruction. You get that way? Here's the instruction. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. I'm going to faint. You're going to get that water brook. Wait. Wait. Is that good advice? Could I be wrong in saying wait on the Lord? Just wait on him. He's on his throne. You think he ain't doing what he wants? Wait. Wait. Be still. Peace. Calm down. Oh, Maurice, Jonathan Holbrook laughed hard at that yesterday. Maurice used to tell us, he'd say, go sit underneath the shade tree and eat your ham sandwich. You're going to be all right. Just wait on the Lord. It'll be fine. We got some pulled pork barbecue back there. Just sit down. Wait on him. I'm thirsting for God. Yeah, well, wait. Wait on the Lord. Trust, that's what that means. Trust the Lord. Trust. You ain't going to wait on somebody you don't trust. Wait, repair fellows are like, I don't think I'm coming. What time do you want to go get lunch? You don't trust him. You don't know him. We know him. We long for him. We trust him. For right now, I'm heartsick. I'm homesick to the point of weeping. And back in our text there in Psalm 42, verse 3. David says, my tears have been my meat day and night. He says, all I can eat is my tears. That's the proved fast. The acceptable fast of the Lord. People say, oh, well, I'm not eating to try to be closer to God. You're trying to lose some weight, maybe. That ain't the fast. He gives a fast, and your heart broke. You're sick. You can't eat nothing. Like a loss of a loved one. Here, eat a sandwich. I can't eat nothing. I can't. My tears are my meat. Isn't it? But this is good news. Dead people don't cry. I mean, they might be carnally. Unbelievers might be sad about some things, but these are tears sent of God. He said, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? A lot of the texts in the scriptures are bifocal or trifocal or however, way more beautiful than I could ever expound. We don't scratch the surface. But our tears, they consume us to the point we can't eat or do anything else, and that's true. And there's times that man inside of you is fighting and says, where's your God now? And where's your God? Unfeigned soul thirst is in us. And it says, what's going on? But the fact we have those tears. Here's the other angle of it. The fact we have them. He gave them. And those tears, the Lord makes us weep over him. They're asking us, David, where's your God? You ever laid on a bed just bawling your eyes out because of your sin and your wretchedness in this world and you long to be with Christ? And where's your God? You're lying in that bed of self-pity and wallowing in it, and you're watering your couch. Where's your God? In times of trouble, that the Lord sent. Yesterday, we was talking, where's your God? That's not mean. Well, he's on his throne. I don't know. People don't have such a lack of assurance, and they feel like they're overcome with unbelief because you look at yourself. But where's Lord at? He's on his throne. Was he going to fail? Look. Stand up. Of course he ain't going to fail. He's God. Is he going to lose one of his leg? No. So he's still on his throne. It's a good question, isn't it? Wait on him. Wait on him. Henry, his son died in Vietnam. And just a cruel, unregenerated person come to him at the funeral. And they said, where was your God when your son died? And the Lord gave him something to say. He looked at him. He said, the same place he was when his son died on his throne. That'll take a wind out of you. When we cry out from the heart, we have tears of despair. Where is he? Where is he? When you're just wallowing around and you're crying, oh, Lord, I can't see you. Where is he? Where he's always been. He's on his throne, isn't he? When you search for him with all your heart, he said, if you look for me with all your heart, what you going to do? You're going to find me. You're going to find me. You see how the tears of this trial could be a friend? Have we lived through that long enough? Have we been through enough trials to say, well, at the end of this, I'm going to see the Lord? Are you hurting? Oh, no, there's still water coming out of my face. I still weep. I still shave my head and rent my clothes and fell down in sackcloth and ashes. I'll see the Lord in this. I'll see him. Reminds us where he is, seated on his throne, not pacing. That sissified Jesus this nation talks about makes me disgusted. He's wringing his hands. Oh, just pretty please, won't you let me do something? That ain't a God. This is the God. He's seated on his throne because he rules. He ain't fretting. The heathen, asked David in Psalm 115, the heathen say, not his tears, not a friend or the wounds of a friend. The heathen say, where is now their God? Where's your God now? And he said, our God's in the heavens. He done whatsoever he's pleased. He made me cry, and that's all right. Look here in verse 4. When I remember these things, when I think about all this stuff, I remember where he is. I pour out my soul in me. Oh, there's water just coming out. It's overflowing, isn't it? For I've gone with the multitude. I went within the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept the holy day. It don't matter if we're in a house of worship, the Lord's gathered us together to praise him and we all rejoice together, or if I'm at home in my closet. If he works this in me, my heart just pours out to him. Doesn't it? And I like being where other people's experience that. We're in the same boat. Fellas in the same ship. You get that? They kept that holy day, didn't they? That multitude. It doesn't matter if I'm in the house of God or my closet. My heart pours out when I remember who saved me. My heart pours out when I remember where he is now. When I remember his majesty and his glory. Not that we rely on the experiences, but we have them, don't we? They've said, I remember. I remember that before. He said in Romans 5, Paul did. He said, and not only so, we glory in tribulations also. The tears we have, those couches we're watering. Thank God for them. He sent them. You got something real hard going on? Lord sent them. It's going to be for your good. It's going to be for his glory. And that ought to be more important to us. We always focus on our good, don't we? Paul said, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tear ducts are going to get in real good shape. You're going to get used to it. It's going to work patience. And patience is going to work experience. It's going to happen over and over and over again. And maybe sooner or later we're going to learn something. You reckon? And that experience is going to work hope. Hope. Expected end. Not wishy. Like, oh, well, I hope it rains. No. An expected end is what the word is. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Hearts pour out. Is that what David said? Our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The Ghost comes to us. The Holy Ghost. God sent him, the Comforter. And he said, look to Christ. You ain't got no Holy Ghost down here. Well, you're looking for a hoopy hollering and pew jumping and Bible thumping. He said, when he comes, he's going to speak of me. We preach Christ and him crucified. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept that holy day. Seeing our brethren in the house of God praising his name with joy, and faithfully attending to hear the word no matter what, no matter the tears, no matter the grief, no matter who's in town, no matter what, that encourages me. Does that encourage you? I was talking to some dear people, buddy. I mean, heart-wrenching trials, people of our same age, things I couldn't imagine. And I said, Lord did it. It's all right. He sent it. He'll keep us. We believe him. We hurt, but we believe. We'll wait on him. You think I don't encourage me? The Lord sends a trial to a local assembly, a body. That's why he gathers us together. All right? He don't bop that sheep on the head and say, good luck, we'll see you later. He brings the sheep back, and he fitly frames us together. That way your trials affect me, and my trials affect you. And it's for the body, it's for the good of us. And other assemblies where he's gathered his saints, the troubles we go through, that's for their good. The troubles they're going through, that's for your good. God gave somebody cancer to teach you something. Well, I couldn't believe a God would do that. He said, I've given nations for you. Well, that's just unimaginable. Well, you ought, maybe you grab your hand around, he gave his son for you. A lot more valuable than nations and a little bit of cancer or heartache or whatever. He gave his son for us. I remember these things, David said. I remember them. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about to see who he may devour. Want to sift us like wheat. Want to chew us up. Whom steadfast, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that this same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same thing we're going through, somebody else going through. That's for the body, isn't it? That encouragement, all this encouragement leads to a question. This is the chorus. We remember this is a song, right? They sang this. This is a song. Look here in verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Look to him. Hope to him. Why are you cast down? Is that a good question? Next time you say it, you cast down. You know, I mean, you can't breathe. It's sin or the world or whatever, and it's got you. You just, I want to be with the Lord right now. Why are you cast down? Give me one good reason. If he's revealed his son in you and he saved you and you're called Israel now and you shall be called Israel, why are you upset? Why? You got a good reason? There ain't one. He sent this, and if it ain't for our immediate good, which it is, it's for our brethren's good, for those that's in the house of God. This is right. That's good. We ought to have that. It says, why they're disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Wait on him. Trust him. He's your expected end. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. It says help there, doesn't it? This is the chorus. Look down in verse 11. Looks the same, doesn't it? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Why y'all shook up? Hope thou in God. Look to him. Trust him. The response, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance. Oh, it doesn't say that. It says the health. Doesn't it? The songwriter changed it up on us. Well, what did he say up in verse 9? He's our help. He's our help in time of trouble. Isn't that what he says? The Lord Jesus Christ, our King that we pant after, is our help in time of trouble. You in trouble? If you ain't, you don't need help. You need water? I ain't thirsty. I can tell. You ain't knocking somebody out of your way to get to the water. Those that's in trouble, he's our help in time of trouble. Isn't that good? Well, I got comfort now, but I'm still sick. I still have this sick body. Who is there in verse 11? Who is the health of my countenance? He's the great physician. You sick? If not, you don't need the great physician. If you're sick, he's our health of our countenance. And my God. Isn't that something? We got a little bit of time. Let's go back up to verse 6. David cries out, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. That's going to happen over and over. Therefore, because it's cast down, will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hemorites and from the hill of Mizar. That's all those things that took place. I remember your deliverance in time past. I remember those battles. That's what Paul was saying. We have this experience. We have some patience and we have experience. Now we're hope. I remember. Do you remember? We're the Lord's rememberers, right? Remember that. He said, deep calleth. Here's how bad the trial is. When the deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. That means it's raining so hard on the seas, you can't tell the difference between the skies and the oceans. And the waves are coming up and talking to each other, smacking. And there's tornadoes on the water, waterspouts, right? And it's billows all over me. And they're gone over me. When that happens, the Lord, verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. I know that. Do you know that? Have you lived it a couple times? Oh, the trials are coming. Oh, the tears are coming. You're going to be in the midst of it. You ain't going to see no way out. And you said, this boat's sinking. When that happens, then the Lord's going to command his loving kindness, and it's going to be like daytime. Well, it might still rain. You may still get wet. You still got to paddle to shore. That's still going to happen. That's what he's going to command. Is that the power of positive thinking? No, that's a God that saves his people. He said, I will command, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. What about when it gets dark? I still will be singing to him. My prayer unto God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? That's going to happen. Lord, I know I'm not fixed. I haven't learned my lesson. I know it's going to happen again because I know I'm a Jacob. I know what I am. It's going to happen again. But you're going to ask, that capital S spirit's going to ask my little S spirit, why go you mourning? Why are you mourning? Because of the enemy. Are you surrounded? You better believe it. We are, ain't we? I mean, plumb all 360. Plumb surrounded by nothing but enemies that despitefully use us and chew me in half if the Lord take his hand off of them in a heartbeat. But why are you mourning? What's wrong with you? He said about that giving fast too. He said, don't you walk around the world with your cheeks all sunk in, but oh, I'm just so bad off and I'm fasting, I can't eat because the Lord showed me my sin. He said, you wash your face, you do that in your closet. Walk around somebody that believes God. What's you mourning for? It's real. Verse 10 says, as with a sword in my bones. Boy, it hurt, wouldn't it? Mine enemies reproach me. Or they say daily unto me, daily, where is thy God? What's that answer? I'm going to remember this, Lord. It's going to happen again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? What's wrong with you? Don't be cast down. And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. That's the life of my countenance. And my God. My Lord and my God, as Thomas said. Amen. I hope that's cheerful instead of a tearjerker. That's what we call an old sad country song, tearjerker. That's a good thing. The Lord jerks some tears out of you, isn't it? All right. Brother Mike, you can come lead us.